Hey, everybody. Yes. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, a hunk, a man that does it all, the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, we made it to 100 episodes.
Yay. Buddy. And that was the most beta male yes I've heard you say ever. So that's great. Thanks, Jason, for starting it off so passively.
We made it to the top of the 100 episode mountain, and then I just fell
just
over.
Sunk down. It's over. We made it. I quit.
No, Chris, so the first question, I think, before we talk about what we're going to talk about this episode is, are we going 100 more?
Oh, that's a good question. Jason,
I think we got to do it.
I like you, and I think you like me.
Too.
I think we enjoy, you know, my wife would really question the hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, that we spend chatting and talking if I didn't say that I was working.
That's
so
true.
I call this working. And otherwise, I wouldn't get to talk to you. So we have to do another 100, because otherwise, I wouldn't have an excuse to chat it up with the Jason Rothman.
It is a little weird. You close your door. Tell your family, like, I'm dad, I'm husband, I'm the provider. Don't talk to me for 2 hours. You are not allowed. If there's an emergency, you are not allowed to talk to me.
Don't knock on the door.
I'm talking to this
Until
other
I
guy.
Until I smell smoke, don't come in here.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. Let's do 100 more and see what happens.
Let's do it.
You had a very good idea for this 100th episode. We have dropped the water coolers. Everybody, I'm sorry. Maybe we'll do a water cooler on Facebook Live.
I don't think it was.
Well, people did love them, Chris. They did love them. There were some people that love them. But since we did those, the show has grown tremendously audience-wise. And we just have a hunch that not a lot of the new audience would appreciate us just
chatting about nothing.
Chatting it up for an hour. So they want the AdWords beef. So maybe the water coolers will move over to Facebook, Chris.
Oh, Facebook. I'm a big fan of Facebook. That. Yeah, I think they just testified in front of Congress. Yeah, that's a good place to go.
Senator, thank you for asking that question. It's my company. I'm the CEO. I don't know what we collect, but we'll get back to you.
I'm not sure. I'm not embedded in this company every single day and have answers.
Apparently, Chris, someone, I have an article pulled up on my phone to read later. Someone downloaded all their Facebook data. You can like download everything they have about you. And it's like people you unfriended and like just they have everything on you. So now I'm playing games with it. Today I just posted like I really love chocolate. I am just in the mood for chocolate.
You sacrifice your own integrity with these dumb posts you do on Facebook.
I know, and you know what I'm doing? I'm waiting to see if I see ads come up for chocolate. But anyway, we should not joke about this too much because
They're watching.
There's another company that we rely on tremendously.
And they're great.
That collects data.
They're never going to testify in front of Congress.
You know, Chris, I'm not worried about it. Like,
no.
From day one, Google has had to handle the data thing the right way because they have what we search in Google, some of the most private stuff ever. So
to the point that it limits us as advertisers for personal information. We want it and we don't get it.
Yeah. We don't get it, but we don't need it because people tell us what they search for. So, Chris, with all that said, on today's episode, we're going to look back at the last 100 episodes or last 99 and just talk about since the 2 years we started the show, in AdWords, what's the same? In our business lives, what's the same? And then over these last 2 years, what's changed in AdWords and what's changed in our business lives? And we kind of got these handful of ideas to discuss just by looking at the episode titles. Which people can see at paidsearchpodcast.com. And Chris, what's the same? One of the first things you wanted to mention is that your lack of caring about budget size is the same. So why don't you explain?
It's a strange way to say it, but yes, basically, when I started working in AdWords many years ago, and it's certainly 2 years of doing the podcast, budget is still not an issue. I don't care how competitive a market gets in search. I don't care if there's 100 competitors or just two. Budget is still not an issue. The problem is expectations of the client or the business owner. $500 can still get you good stuff in AdWords. The difference is you have to adjust your expectations for $500 versus $5,000. So still the same. Budget does not matter. You can still play the game in AdWords. You can still be in the running for good traffic and leads. It's just expectations. That's all you got to adjust. So still the same there.
I think that's a great point. You can still get on the platform. You know, people always talk about, oh, more people are advertising. Oh, the cost per click's going up. 2 years later, you can still get on there with the $500 budget and do something for your business.
Yeah, and I think it was a year ago you referenced the fact that overall, you know, year to year, Google is showing an average CPC going down across the board. Well, you know, we've seen those numbers released by Google before, you know, so when you're in your own little bubble and you're paying this amount and you're digging in and you're watching your CPC go up, this is not a reflection of the market. The market is not closing itself out from everyone except for the high rollers. Overall, the market is still very open and available. So I'm glad to see that that's the same as it was 2 years ago, as the same as it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, and there's more, even though there's more advertisers, there's probably more searches happening on Google. So it grows along with it. Now, your second thing that's the same, and it probably hasn't changed at all because it has nothing to do with Google itself, the importance of landing pages.
Yeah.
Why don't you break that down?
Yeah. One thing I really love about Google is that the same thing has always mattered when it comes to having a good website. And that translates into AdWords. You know, when you talk about SEO, the important thing is the way that people show the information that they want to show to the user, and that the user has a good experience. That's what matters to Google. And that's what matters in AdWords, whether it's SEO or paid. The same thing is true about having a clear call to action, about having clear keywords, about what you provide, where you're located, getting the basic information that you would tell a prospective client in the first 10 minutes of your call, what that is. If you can communicate that in the landing page, you are still hitting the same mark you were 2 years ago as you are now. Hasn't changed.
Right. You know what's interesting, Chris, is Google has Google domains. You can buy a domain from Google. Once you do that, you have different ways of setting up a website. I haven't done it through them, but they have different companies they work with or something. There's all these drag and drop companies out there to easily create a website. Wouldn't it make sense that one day in AdWords, you could come in there and create a one-page website and it would be hosted by Google and you could buy a domain and then just drag and drop your pictures and type up your information about your business and people could get on there with solid landing pages? I think they should do that.
That sounds tempting as long as it's a paid service. I'm not a big fan of free services when it comes to business activities. Now, you know, Google does the paid email services, paid business services. And that's great because you can call, you can get information. If this is a free landing page system that anyone can do directly in, you know, AdWords, I would want that to be separate. I want that to be a separate thing because I don't want that to be free because I want to be able to call a number. I want to be able to get support. And if my money goes into paying for that system and the people to back it up, then I'm happy to do that. But the last thing I'd want is ad-supported landing page software. That sounds horrible.
You say landing pages are still critically important. I think what I would say is the same as 2 years ago is that landing pages are still a problem as just part of the industry.
Good
it
point.
Is like there are some very good landing page software companies we've talked about out there. But it's still not as easy as any old business owner can do it, and you get a page up in 5 minutes. It's like, it's still an issue, I think, that could be made easier. So yeah, still critically important and still a problem if you don't have a good website. And you know what else is a problem, Chris? Finding a good web designer locally.
It's we could do a whole episode on that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just crazy that 2 years later, it's still an issue. And of course, it's an issue because it's half the battle in AdWords for most forms of advertising. Now, the third thing that's the same, Chris, something that's true to your heart, search terms. You still love your little search terms.
You act like these. True, I wrote these down as topics for us to talk about. But Jason, you know, when it comes to search terms, and the way that I phrase it is this. They're the most granular way of measuring the performance of your campaign. You can tell me about your amazing conversion rate. And I'll go into your search terms and say, hey, wow, half your conversions are brand conversions. Great job. That's a bunch of BS. Let's look at your non-brand conversions. Oh, you're in the trash, right? And you say, look at my click-through rates. Look at this. I mean, this is great. Wow, did you realize that people are clicking on your ads thinking that you sell free t-shirts? Or not sell, but you know, giving away free t-shirts? You never know what kind of quality you're getting until you look at the true granular relationship of what that click is about. And that's the search term.
It is, Chris. It's almost to the point of it's boring now. Like, because it's so true. But at the same time, when people ask me questions about AdWords, very few people bring up search terms.
Mm-hmm.
And
they tell you numbers, don't they?
What do we have to do?
They say, Jason,
1,000 episodes before they get it. It's like, it's the number one thing, Chris, but it's not talked about in a number one way.
Yeah. I agree.
Lucky for us, I guess.
I guess looking back, you know, the fact that it stayed so solid and we've only talked more about search terms than we did 2 years ago. And I think the difference is because search terms is not a solid numeric representation that you can point to. It's such a relative idea. You can't say these are good search terms because it's always relative to what you're selling in your campaign. You can't say here's the kind of search term that you want to see because that's not going to be true for 99% of the other people out there.
You can't say click-through rate's 2%. I want it to be 3%. Show me that KPI on next month's report. I'm happy. Yeah. That's so much easier to just get a number to a different number. But yeah, the search terms, Chris, and it's not just AdWords clients or AdWords people that we talk to. It's listeners of the show, Chris, who should know better. I talked to someone today I told you about who had been involved with you, and they had gotten training long, long time ago. You'll love to hear this. They said it started off perfect. They said calls were rolling
there in. There you go.
Business was rocking after getting training from you. But they hadn't gotten training in a long time, and they were wondering, you know, they've been doing things to the account. Why has it been going south? They didn't mention search terms at all on the call. And it's like, that's the number one thing. So we all we can do is just say that. It has stayed just as important. And luckily for us, we still have access to it in the same spot in the keywords tab. So Chris, bidding has stayed the same for me. And I'd love to hear what you're doing for bidding and if it's changed at all over 2 years. But for the most part, I do manual bidding still.
Yeah.
And I bid up keywords that have good low cost per conversions that I want to get more from if they're lower than a position 1.0, and I lower bids on keywords that eat up a lot of spend and have either no conversions or a very high cost per conversion that I want to get lower. It's not that complicated, but that's what I do. And I've been doing that for 2 years. Nothing has changed with my bidding. How about you?
Yeah, I will say that 2 years ago, the options for automatic bidding weren't quite as diverse. There have been some improvements, but I think that makes this point even truer. The fact that we still consider manual bidding to be the more advanced, proper method for advertising, using the right keyword, the right ad, you know, getting the right kind of click, that being superior to any other automatic method that Google can crank out with their super awesome bots in the end.
Well, and part of it, Chris, is I know one thing I could do, you could say better, but one thing I could do different is I could have the patience on some accounts to let those automated strategies run for a full month.
Yeah.
But just the way I manage things week to week, I just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I like having the control.
And thank you for clarifying, because I'm not saying that it's always a bad choice. I'm just saying for you and I, and for people who understand how to scale your bidding and to level your bidding and to have different steps for different important keywords, manual is the way to go, because you just can't duplicate that in automatic bidding.
And it's always nice to know you have control.
Yeah.
You can change things on a dime. Now, Chris, let's continue with the AdWords stuff, and then we'll go with the offline stuff at the end. But in terms of what's changed, and we were breaking this list down today, and a lot actually has changed in just 2 years. So the first thing, I'm going to have to clarify the record for the rest of my life, Chris, because I've been associated with SKAGs, single keyword ad groups.
Single keyword ad groups. I think it's one of our more downloaded episodes on the podcast and on the YouTube channel, because it's such a hot topic. And tell me how you've changed. What's changed?
Well, I don't do them anymore because they don't get the job done when it comes to managing, when it comes to putting in new keywords, when it comes to doing ad experiments. I don't like it. And Chris, you know what's funny? Not only am I not doing SKAGs anymore, part of my work on some larger accounts as we speak this week, I'm consolidating. I'm shrinking the number of ad groups.
Going the opposite direction.
Yes, I'm literally downsizing. And it's just so much easier to manage effectively with confidence. And it's like, okay, so if you find a good search term you like, now I can go, okay, it definitely goes in this one ad group, or I'll create a new ad group. So that's what I do now versus which of the 7 ad groups should I put it in, which it's very close to.
Yeah.
That's a mess. And then you have ads for the same, basically the same keywords being stretched across 7-10 ad groups, not getting any data. Now they're nice in one ad group, and I can really jack that click-through rate up with ad copy I can test quickly. So I've totally gotten away from it, Chris.
That's amazing.
Totally gotten away from
it. For a guy that, you know, is on the wrong side of the great debate that we did, Jason, I have to say that's very big of you to share. It's not that I always thought that SKAGs was the wrong thing. I just, you know, I never really considered SKAGs to be a solution, because everything that official Google documentation pointing me to, and every test I'd ever done, you know, it just works better and it's easier this way. I never really sought after a more complicated method. So happy to hear that that's changed for you. And I know that some people will still swear by it. I know that some people are still old school about doing things like that. And the real thing is, if it works for you and it works for your campaign and you feel that you're getting better results because of it, go for it. But it's certainly changed for Jason.
Well, Chris, it was big of me to make the change, because it's not like I just woke up and said, oh, I love Skags. I've had two mentors in AdWords that I did a lot of work for years ago. And they basically just locked me in a room and I was their AdWords slave. And both of these mentors wanted Skags. And so that's how I came up learning to do it. So it's like a kid who's indoctrinated in something and then branching out.
They're indoctrinated.
Literally, well, locked in a room working till like 3 a.m, Chris. Like,
so sad.
Maybe one day I'll write a book about it. But it made me probably the best AdWords manager probably on the planet.
What a from slavery to on the mountaintop. What a comeback story.
That's amazing. You know, but yeah, working till 3 a.m. Can I come out of the room yet? Shut up. Go do some Skags.
I need another 400 ad groups before you can leave.
Yeah. So yeah, I've gotten away from Skags. And the final thing I like about getting away from them, Chris, is that I like going in the direction of Google. That's why I moved from SEO to AdWords, because it's going with Google. I like going with Google. Google is openly telling you, us, everybody, we're using more and more artificial intelligence and machine learning. That works better and better when you have fewer, more consolidated ad groups that make sense. Mm-hmm. It helps our machines learn. And so I'm going in the direction of Google and doing what they're telling me to. So Chris, another massive change, and this wasn't just me, this was both of us, is that we both run pure broad keywords now on a regular basis. That's a massive change. You had been doing AdWords for about 20 years.
20 years.
before I met you. And then the 2 years I've known you, we hadn't done any pure broad. And then now all of a sudden we're doing pure broad quite a bit.
Yeah. In my eyes, 2 years ago, someone who throws pure broad into a campaign doesn't know what they're doing. It's an ignorant thing to do, because you immediately lose control and you're throwing your money in the wind, hoping that maybe these obscure searches will somehow yield a qualified click, which is seems like a silly thing. But go back and listen to our podcast about how to use broad match correctly, because we're not saying just to use broad match and throw money at it and let it go. That's not what we're saying. Go back and watch that and you'll see what we're talking about. But yeah, that has changed definitely for me. I am no longer afraid of trying more openly, allowing Google to, you know, see what I get. Not advocating just everything that the Google automated system will provide, but there are some things that I think are worth it.
Yep, it's episode 94, how to use pure broad match keywords like a pro. And we've got some specific tips in there. Again, it's not just about using broad by itself. There's some tips you definitely want to know about from that episode. But yeah, Chris, it's standard now for me to at least try. And in a lot of cases, it brings in another 10% of conversions and budget. You have to control your bids and make sure you're running the right kind of broad keywords. In some cases, Chris, I have gotten better results. Now, let me ask you something. You probably don't know the answer, because I don't know the answer, but it's just a theory I have. If someone is searching for a criminal lawyer and you have the keyword criminal lawyers in Dallas as a broad match keyword, and Google has seen them do searches for criminal lawyer recently, for maybe DUI lawyer, maybe a search like how much jail time do you get for a DUI? How bad is a first DUI offense? And then at some point they search lawyers in Dallas by themselves, just lawyers in Dallas. And then that's what shows up in your search terms report from your broad match keyword and your ad gets triggered. Do you think Google is smart enough not to trigger your broad keyword on every search for lawyers in Dallas that day, but maybe for ones where they can tell the person was specifically looking for criminal stuff around that time?
Yes. I have two ways that I think I know the answer to this. One is you can test this same kind of thing in your browser, you know, clean browser, no history, you know, nothing like that. And you do a search related to geographic area. Right. You're doing lots of searches around Atlanta, Georgia, this, Atlanta, Georgia, that. Then you just type in plumbers. Suddenly you're going to get geographic terminology relating to plumbers in Atlanta, Georgia. You'll get
ads from Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll see. You might see something that's related to your specific location, but you will see something related to Atlanta, even though your search did not include, you know, Atlanta, Georgia plumbers. It was just plumbers.
Right.
The second thing is in your settings. When you look at the settings, Jason, we only talk about two. We talk about allow people to see ads when they're in my specific location.
Right.
And that first one that we tell people not to use in most situations, it says people in.
Searching about
or have, what's that last one? Or have interest in. What is interest, right? Interest, it's not the search. It's going to have to be the search history. The recent searches that they've been
possibly
doing.
Possibly because of Google Analytics on almost every site in the world.
Yeah.
Possibly pages you visited.
Yeah. Something is there when it says has an interest, because interest is not indicated by one search. And interest, and I think in this terminology, is referring to historical information about what they've been searching for.
Okay, and good. That's good to know. And that gives me confidence in my pure broad match keywords. And Chris, one of the things I've been wrestling with back and forth is, if I do have a criminal lawyer in Dallas as a client, and I am running some broad match keywords for criminal lawyers in Dallas, and I do see a couple of search terms that say lawyers in Dallas, the old me would have added those as negatives. But the new me is thinking, okay, Google's only showing those non-criminal related searches when they think they know something about that search user.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be a little more hesitant to just add those as negatives and give them a chance to kind of get some data and prove themselves. So interesting. Thank you for clarifying that.
I wish there was an option. You know, it says in the search terms thing, it says phrase match or related term or, you know, exact match. Mm-hmm. I wish it would have said triggered by interest or triggered by, you know, topic interest, something like that. That would be really cool to know whether it was triggered on the keyword or triggered on historical interest information. That would be really interesting, but we don't get that.
Right. Well, it's just like I was asking there, I put you on the spot, and I know you, just like I, you don't have like the exact written answer from Google, but it was good to know that you're thinking along the same wavelength. Like, no, I don't know this for sure, but it makes sense based on everything I know.
It does make sense, yeah.
Okay, cool. So another massive change. This is a massive change, Chris.
Yeah, for you. It's funny that you're even introducing it because I have nothing to say about this. Jason was the keyword research king.
Was I? See, I don't even remember.
You told me that you spent so much time.
I think you're right. Yeah, I remember saying
in
this.
The keyword planner.
Yeah.
And doing just looking stuff up. And then you would call Google and harass them like, "Hey, what's happening in the keyword planner? I'm not getting as precise answers as I used to." You'd be really upset. And now that's slowly brought it down to a trickle. That how much time do you think you spend in the keyword planner nowadays?
This is not an exaggeration. Basically zero. It's not an exaggeration. Basically zero.
You used that.
Yeah. Was the biggest part of my build. Yeah. The most.
You would do so much research. So what's crazy is, I mean, I used it too, but nowhere near as much as you did. And now I use, it's not even basically, it's zero. I do not use the keyword planner.
But that's something we did. It's like they made this decision for us.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, except on a few of my accounts that had been around forever that spent a lot of money, the keyword planner just doesn't work. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't give back a lot of results.
It's like they don't want to give solid answers. They'd rather you just try it and see what happens, which is pretty much the process that I do. I'm sure you...
It's not a negative. We're rolling with it. And no, I think it's
probably
I don't think it's a bad thing.
I like it because I don't like clients going into the keyword planner and saying, well, when I do a search here, I see that it's supposed to be 14,000 impressions and the CPC is supposed to be this.
And the competition level is medium.
Yeah,
Chris.
Medium. Why are the clicks here and why are we only getting... That's tough because they're using a Google tool to get answers about Google AdWords and I'm running real AdWords in the system and paying real money for it and getting actual data. But the keyword planner says this. It's tough to stand up to. So I'm glad that the whole thing has been kind of watered down.
Yeah, they phased us out and we rolled with it and I think we're better off for it. So now when we do build, you can go back to the build series where we built the Dentist in Plano. We just kind of use common sense. We do Google searches. And then, Chris, we use that big red button. That's a change for us in the last 2 years. We use that all the time now. When you're adding keywords on the keyword tab, right, in an individual ad group, I think you have to
individual ad group, you already have your ad copy written. You put a couple keywords, you know, save them into that ad group, and then hit that red keyword button again.
Yep.
And You will be blessed with a plethora of terms that would never have crossed your mind. And the cool thing is you can put most of those into phrase match. You could just add them all, put them into phrase match, and very few of them will be low search volume keywords. Most of them will get something, which is so much more useful than that keyword planner, which would give you, oh, you're going to do a plumbing campaign? How about plumber?
Right.
No.
Now, Chris, I wish the listeners who don't watch us on YouTube, I wish they could see this. You do this thing now that you're standing up, and I hope you stay standing going forward. You give your hot take,
and then
you're just so proud of yourself. You're like, let me step back from that, because let me just let that sit out there for a minute and let people digest that, because that was good.
Chase, yeah, you're right. I do. When you can't see me when I'm on phone calls, it's so much fun. I love my job for the dumbest reason. I love my job because I'm in my pajamas and I'm talking to a group of people at an agency or something, you know?
Right.
And they're all like, well, Chris, you know, it's like some CEO guys hounding on me about this. And I'll just like lay them out with a nice fat, like knowledge ham. You know, it's just thick and it's just, you know, it's just dripping with juice and wisdom. And I just drop it and then I just walk away from the mic and I just say, bam, I just don't even say anything. And I hear, wow, yeah, that's true, Chris. We completely agree.
Wow.
Just a little insight into what Chris does.
It's good to know you do it, because you definitely do it. Now, Chris, a change for me. I don't know where you stand on this and how much you were doing this 2 years ago versus how much time you put into it now. But 2 years ago, Chris, I was very, very big on search terms when it comes to management and bids. And I still am. But here's what changed in those 2 years. Myself and Jasmine, my employee here at Rothman PPC, we've gotten so extremely efficient at bid work and search terms, including by using the great tool Optimizer, that we have more time for management now each week in an account. And we're able to get an account up to speed in terms of search terms and bids so quickly and so well that it allows more time for basically the only thing you can do after that on an ongoing basis, ad copy testing. And so I am using fewer ad groups now. I am using fewer ads in each ad group, just two or three. And I'm doing a lot of ad testing, Chris, way more than I was 2 years ago. You know, the kind of books I read about psychology and influence and stuff. And that's kind of where my big interest is right now, or how I'm taking something I'm interested in just genuinely outside of my business and using that passion in my business through ad copy. I'm spending so much more time playing around with that than I did 2 years ago.
Yeah. The best things that's influenced me about ads is knowing that all the work we do in the keywords and the bids, and I say this a lot, is...
That's a great point. I always think of you.
Is that people only see the ads that you wrote. They don't see the keywords. They don't see the bids. They don't see all the ad extensions that you've worked on. Sometimes it just shows the ad copy. You know, if you're second, third position, you may not show any ad extensions. And it's just, what did you write in that headline one and headline two and description? That's the only thing you have to really hook them with. And if you didn't write those well, if they aren't enticing for the person to click, you're not going to get the click. So I wouldn't say that for me that's changed a lot. I mean, I'm not going to say that I haven't improved on it, but because I didn't use the Skag, I was always able to do multiple ad tests and really diversify what my ads are doing in my campaigns. Now, I will say, I didn't mention where I read that comment about the ads being the only thing that people see. That's from the Brad Getty's book that we talk about all the time.
Oh, well, 2 years in, it's good of you to give some credit to the guy.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't mine. You've given that
I have.
Line so many times over the last 2 years, like it's an original line.
Thanks, Jason.
I'm shocked. I thought that was your line.
No. I'll take credit.
I guess, but better late than never to come clean.
Sorry, Brad. Wow. I'm sure Brad listens. Because I have Brad signed up for. Let me check my calendar. Yeah, I have Brad signed up for some training next week. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, Chris, a couple things that changed significantly. Speaking of ads, this is a big change if you think about where we were 2 years ago. I think 2 years ago, possibly there was still a yellow background on the ads. Maybe not. It maybe had been phased out by then, but that was around then. And then there were ads on the side of the page. Mm. And now there's, instead of three ads at the top, there can be four, and it's just ads at the top and the bottom. So that's been a big change. And the actual ad size themselves, Chris, expanded text ads, and this just happened in call only, by the way. The two description lines went from 35 characters to 80, and that just happened in the last couple weeks. Ads have gotten much larger, And think about how constricting it would be to go back to 25, 35, 35.
Oh, goodness.
Compared to what we do now. So that's been a huge change, and there's really nothing to say about it because you have to do it now. You can't even edit old style ads.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting change. And my last change, Chris, I am still hot for remarketing. Like,
oh, yeah.
In the last 2 years, I've gotten hotter and hotter. And I do a ton of remarketing. The reason why is because it works.
Oh, yeah. Because spend $100 in search instantly, spend $100 in remarketing. Oh, you just got 20,000 impressions. And all those people have been to your site. Worth it.
Yeah,
it's totally just, worth it. Just, I don't care if it doesn't get a single conversion. Those impressions are worth a little something. They're worth the $10, the $20 you spend a month on those clicks and impressions. That you may never see a view-through conversion or a conversion on those, but it's worth it. I don't care.
Yep. And Chris, I would talk about some extra things, but I think the time has come for us to close this 100th episode, Chris. You must not be keeping a timer because in the old days, this would be Chris. He'd be waving at me halfway through the show. Shut it down. Shut it down.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Chris, we're 100 episodes in. I appreciate you doing the show with me. It's been very lucrative for me. And I know it's been lucrative for you too, but I think beyond just the publicity and all that, I think we both get a lot out of talking strategy each week and trying to get better at AdWords in front of everybody.
Yeah, you guys, you keep me sharp. You ask some good questions, and we have our questions and answers episode, which we're really getting a lot. And I just want to say, I apologize if you have sent a question in the past 6 weeks. You're probably close to getting your answer.
Yeah, we're going to answer them.
We're going to answer
them. We make them up.
But it might take up to 2 months for us to get an answer. So we appreciate all of the questions we're getting and the reviews that we're getting. We know that we're delivering some solid stuff to you guys because you tell us. You know, I talk to some of you and I get emails from others. We read reviews. You know, so love to hear that this is working for y'all. We're glad that you're still listening. And many of you have been listening since 2 years ago, which is cool. So, Jason, I'm done. Since I stand up now, I'm going to just walk away from the mic and I'm going to make you do it. So, peace.
You're going to steal my move? I don't think you have it in you. That's so rude. He just walked away from the mic. But yeah, guys, we have our PPC questions and answers show. It's on the same YouTube channel, but it is a different podcast feed. So look that up and ask us your questions at paidsearchpodcast.com. Wow. You guys really came through in the last week. We went from 70 reviews in iTunes to 71. So thank you for just hammering those reviews and really getting us a spike in the review count there. But yeah, please leave us reviews on iTunes. And all we ask beyond that is that you guys share the show with friends and colleagues. So thank you for tuning in to this 100th episode. We'll be here for 100 more. Thanks for listening.